This is the DLP Agenda.
That's the reason we have Joe Stamboni from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show here to help us with week two of Deus Ex Machina, The Ghosts in the Machine. Joe, you're here right now to sort of help us with our on-air bullshit.
I asked Joe to get here 1.5 hour early.
Yes,
thank you. Half an hour early. He walked down here. He turned one knob. We were done.
We were finished.
Okay?
Yeah.
He turned one knob. Then we go upstairs. We talk to it. We talk for 45 minutes. We come down here. Nothing's working.
Nothing. Nothing. It's great. Yeah. So he got everything up to speed. We all felt like a bunch of morons upstairs going, oh, Christ. It was one button. We're a bunch of middle-aged zilches. And then right before we go on air again, the waveforms are low for whatever reason. We can't still see the feed up there. But I've got it here. Right there.
Okay.
There we are.
We're on.
Joe Stamboni. Good evening. Hey, welcome
evening
to the DLP HQ.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
What do you think of the new the studio?
This is great down here. This is my first time being down here. It's like a TV set.
You got the patriarch,
yeah.
Mr. Rice himself, Lord Randolph, looking
over
your shoulder.
I didn't even notice that.
You didn't see that?
Watching over.
What's up, Randolph?
Pretty nice, right? Pretty nice.
I love Randolph.
Do not have that fall off of its stand.
Sorry. Don't touch it at all. Hanging on by a thread.
All of our Patreon budget basically went to that. Rob will be here shortly as we record this on the 26th of March. He's filling in for Marianne and Kirk and Marianne. And there's a new episode, by the way, Dork Dynasty, myself, Eric Woodworth, Chris Carlheim, not able to be a part of it because he's putting together this week's Oriole broadcast. You want to talk about a guy that many people around the station, 98 Rock, WBAL, he is an assistant program director, de facto news director, programmer, producer, the guy.
Engineer.
He's basically our Swiss Army
knife. He's running the station.
That dude today. How many miles do you think he ran in the hallway past our window because of everything that went on with the key bridge?
He probably had 10,000 steps before 6 o'clock.
There was a moment,
long
Joe,
stride.
Where
he
does have big slender man
12.
Fucking strides, where he was running with such velocity, Chris Carlheim, at one point today, that Scott perked up and grabs a hold of Joe. He's like giving him like the off-air snaps, like, hey, get over here, get over here. Chris just ran by the window so fucking fast. It's got to mean something. Find out what's going on. Good instincts on Scott's part. Ran out there, and I guess he was just trying to get a guest on or something.
Yeah, he was going to the bathroom or something.
Shit.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've never seen him move the degree he does. Because he's running AM.
Yeah.
He's helping us with FM. He's coordinating stuff with TV.
Yeah.
Today was a pretty brutal day for the city of Baltimore, the state of Maryland, JSS, BAL, TV.
Yeah, no matter where you're listening to this, you know this story.
It's brutal, and I'm glad you said that. I'm glad, what an excellent point, because it's something I wanted to get to. Was that, where did you find out?
I found out from text.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that was the text that I was on this morning?
Yes.
Joe, what about you?
I found out from Carlheim.
Okay.
As I was parking
the
this
same
morning.
Guy we're celebrating here, the gentle giant. I found out from our group text from your lovely wife, Katie.
And yeah, like 4 a.m.
I found out at 4 a.m. and I'm looking and I'm kind of peeling the sleep out of my eyes. And when she said bridge, I'm thinking Bay Bridge. I'm thinking Hanover Street Bridge. I expected to fall into the water. And then I saw the footage as I was driving. And then the horror washed over me. So what you just said, anybody that's listening to this by now has known what happened. The ship, the dolly, struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It collapsed. They're searching for people, survivors, recovery, rescue, what have you. The amount of people that had the fucking balls to text or DM me from 8 a.m. forward going, hey, man,
are you
hear
okay?
What happened to the bridge?
Oh, well, do you hear
no,
what
okay.
Happened?
Are you okay? Dear, endearing. I love it. Thank you. It's caring. It's like, thank you for even thinking of me. I'm quite all right. But tell me you don't know what I do for a living without telling me you don't know what I do for a living.
Right.
When I'm near multiple legendary award-winning stations, signals,
TVs. It's like me calling Robert Lang right now and asking him if he knows.
It's like you reaching over me and like, hey, man, did you hear they're doing WrestleMania in Philly? Yes, I fucking know. The amount of people that reached out today trying to like bring me up to speed about shit, well, I've got the best news guy 3 feet from my right,
right,
5 feet from Scott, and a team of assassins across the hallway just feeding us a drip of information the entire time. But I have people that were walking to the dune's edge of getting blocked today with all these fun insights about shit. I'm like, there's nothing fun about this. This sucks. I think I did get a text from someone, not a DM. I don't mind about DMs, but I keep my phone on because of family stuff. So I get a little ping. It interrupts. The guys are looking at me from like somebody in Waldorf at 9:15, man. Like, hey man, waking up. You heard about this bridge stuff?
Crazy,
like, God
right?
damn it. God damn. And I've also got people, Joe, you monitor the text. I'll never read them.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people trying to correct us today? Telling us, guys, it's called the Bay Bridge. I'm like, okay, it's not. It's fucking not.
Now,
there's multiple bridges, and the one you're referencing is still upright and functional and being driven across. It must have been a dozen people.
You know, Gramps definitely texted me and said, did you hear about the Bay Bridge?
Yes.
And yeah. I just replied, yes.
My mom texted me this morning at like 7 a.m. too. Like, I felt the same exact way. Like, do you know where we work? Like, look right here.
Yeah.
In the heart of the shit.
In the heart of it, we have people disseminating the information.
It's called media, Mom.
Media, Mom. But it's not just that. I get it if you make a mistake. I'm like, hey, man, what happened with the Bay Bridge? It was actually Francis Scott Key Bridge. But the level of, like, slack-jawed indignation, and somebody's texting, guys, you want to get your head out your ass? It's the Bay Bridge. Yeah. I'm not sure who Franklin Stephen Key is, but I'm like, no, you're wrong. Like, agree to disagree, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so, all right. I see both sides. Like, no, you're wrong, and the newsman's right.
You know that tomorrow I am on WBAL.
Yes, you are.
Okay. And I guess I have to spend at least one segment talking.
Oh, you
got to
spend.
Right, I'm going to have to probably spend the most of the time.
This might be your show.
So
we blew everything out today.
Yeah,
I mean,
talk about
everything.
The bridge.
It didn't seem right discussing anything else.
Rob's here. I can hear the dogs going crazy. Yeah. So,
I'm sorry. One last point. I'll hand it to you. People are still, as we're sitting here. What time is it? 7:24. As of 5 p.m., you've seen the footage. We've all seen the footage.
Mm-hmm.
People are still putting it on their social media as if they're the ones that are
breaking the story.
Like, people, and I get it if there's a memory attached. I crossed this bridge so many times. Rob Mayer joining us, discussing the nightmare that was this morning with the bridge.
Did you guys hear about the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, did you hear what happened? The Hanover Street Bridge?
Man, did you hear about the bridge over troubled water?
But the people that, like, that attach a memory, like, I drove this bridge my entire life. My view from my apartment, my view from my home is forever different. That I completely get. But the amount of people that are just putting it up, like, nah, I don't think enough people have seen this yet. I don't think enough people have seen innocents plunge to their most likely death into the water. I mean, 4, 5, 6 o'clock, still posting it. Like,
there is a lot.
What do you get out of
it? A lot of times people do like to interject themselves into this tragedy, right? So,
oh, wow, you see Mac's term for it? I've never heard it. I think it's brilliant. Grief poaching.
Was that what it is?
It's called grief poaching. It's basically what? Chicks equals clicks, bleeds it leads, grief poaching. I mean, what's the Anthony Jeselnik bit? The thoughts and prayers.
Right.
Thoughts and prayers mean less than nothing. All it is just reminding everybody out there, hey, thoughts and prayers. It's just reminding people in the middle of it, hey, don't forget about me.
Yeah,
don't forget about me today.
Yes.
I know everybody else has a sad. I need to let you know, I too, don't forget about me on this bad day when everyone else is dealing with something. The Anthony Jeselnik thoughts and prayers bit, I will not play on the air, but it was swimming around in my head today because there was a lot of that going on.
Now, you guys kept it straight all day, right?
We had to.
Because me and Kirk were going back and forth, and that was sort of, at one point he goes, hey, before we get to that colonoscopy story, let's hear more about the bridge. Here's Josh Spiegel.
You know,
I was like, okay.
I could see why.
Yeah. No, I thought we handled it well.
I listened to a chunk of the show. Yeah. The show was great. You guys did real or fake.
Yeah. When we pre-recorded the one segment, he mistakenly, and we didn't air this, but he's like, Rob, you were solid today. It was just smooth sailing. I was like, no, we can't.
Yeah.
Too soon. Use that term.
Jim Make also makes a great point in chat here. He's like, the same people that spent the last 4 years being infectious disease experts are now suddenly morphing into bridge engineers.
Yes.
I had no idea. We had so many engineers listening on the show that I remember there was a time when we could just have a tragedy and process it and figure our way through it and figure out how to rebuild
from
it.
Well, social media took that from us.
It did.
It gives everyone a platform so you get to say, hey, you're right. What about me? I'm I'm from Baltimore, so now I get to be attached to this tragedy. And so now people from other geographies get to say, oh, you're from Baltimore. I go, yeah, I should travel that road.
Yeah.
Yeah, so by the way, you know how many people have been on the Key Bridge?
What, millions?
Everyone, right. Yeah. Everybody you've ever met.
It's the guy going, something doesn't seem right about this. Well, what doesn't seem right is a fucking 110-million-pound ship slammed into a bridge and caused it to collapse.
But to Hackman's point, those infectious disease experts, most of them got it wrong, too. So,
they
botched it, too. So the actual experts. They were supposed to, in quotes, experts, but not the people online.
So, I actually know three people that are civil engineers.
Really?
Yes.
And dude, we get it. You're cool.
God, and I'm going to, that's me. That's me
so
getting
that's
some credit
where
or whatever.
The pussy went. Yeah. Okay, man. I'm about to build you an orgasm.
Now, as you know, I often, I've never had Joe Stamboni on. Justin would never, he has got to wake up the next morning, but I'm constantly begging people to do WBAL with me.
Yeah.
Constantly. So now I'm like, cool, I can get one of my, I know three people that are civil engineers.
Got to get
first
one
person
of them, right?
I approach is my buddy Phil. Right,
we've spoken about Phil many times.
Okay. No, I won't do it. I refuse to do it. So I said, okay. Then I call my friend Steve. He goes, I haven't done anything in that area. That's what my degree is in. But for 25 years, I'm like, well, will you come on anyway?
He know more than me.
He says, no,
right. No.
So now I have to go to the one guy, guy I want to go to.
He built
least.
A Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah,
I made a ball crawl back in '87.
The guy I want to go to the least. Keeps inviting me to a party at his house.
Oh, no. So he's going to Trojan horse another request. Mm-hmm. If he discusses with you on the air, he is then going to somehow backdoor. Yeah.
It's even worse. I'm going to read this to you.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
I want Joe's thoughts first.
Here we go. I got to find it here. Here we go.
Because if you do him you a favor, he should do you. You should do him a favor, right?
So you can go ahead and read that, Justin.
Okay, I start at the green?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is from Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, any chance you can come on my show Wednesday night, 7 to 8, WBIL 1090? You're the only civil engineer I know to talk
it's
about the
true,
Key Bridge, but still. Okay. He immediately responds with an invitation to his party.
No, got him!
And I need to make clear what I'm saying here. I need to make it exactly clear. Not a, hey man, I'm having a gathering. No.
Immediately.
This is a photoshopped Evite.
We're talking about grief poaching. That's party poaching.
Yeah, a JPEG. Yes.
Okay.
Name of the episode, party poaching. Okay. A JPEG image of an invitation.
Okay, read what he writes.
We have another party that night, but maybe
April. No, read what he wrote.
Oh, next bonfire date was changed to April.
Okay, so now that's his response.
Okay,
I say,
and he has not responded.
Would you like to do this with me? Here's my party that you didn't come to the last time. Then
the big breaking news today for him was the bonfire change of time.
Yes.
I go, hey, we have another party that night. We do. We're going to Minzer's birthday party.
Okay.
Right? Yep. A guy I actually talk to all the time, right?
What? I wasn't invited.
Yeah, hey, you'll need to talk to... Well, I guess we're gonna. That's another thing.
We're talking about that tonight.
We should call him on the air.
We're gonna
if Robbie was here tonight, we'd call him on the air.
Minzer. Well, he'll be here next week, and we.
Well, I mean, Minzer doesn't have anything to do with the invite. That's his wife.
I thought she liked me more than Minzer did.
I got to imagine, right?
I just bumped into her a week ago. I didn't get an invite.
I said, "Hey, we have another party that night, which we do, but we might be able to swing by later. Let me know about WBAL."
Read what he wrote. Nothing. Not a damn thing.
Okay. So the only thing, as soon as I said I might, probably won't be able to make it to your party, nothing. I've got nothing else from.
I want you to troll him. Say, all right, can he come on the following week? I'm doing a segment on bonfire parties.
Yes. And he wants to come on and talk about the bridge.
Yeah, sorry. I have a bridge engineering discussion that night.
I'd love to, but the Army Civil Corps of Engineers has brought
bowling
me down.
Night.
Yeah, I'd
By
love
the way,
to.
It's so frustrating because my friend Phil, who I'm really good friends with, I'm like, hey, dude, can you come on? He goes, no, I don't. I'm not really involved in bridges. I'm like, look,
Who
cares?
Joe, you've never been in the band 21 Pilots. You're not in there. You're not the 22nd pilot.
No.
But I bet if I had a question about how they crafted their album, I bet I could turn to you and be like, can you explain the effect on that guitar?
Probably.
Can you explain what a hi-hat sounds like that?
Probably. I had the same issue today. I don't know what it is in this bridge thing, but people don't want to talk about it. I have a friend that same thing. He's like a bridge engineer. I guess it's a civil engineer.
This guy's a bridge builder?
Yeah, he's an architect or something. He does something with bridges. That's all I know. And I reach out to him. I haven't talked to him in 10 years. And he, oh, man, I haven't been doing it for a while. And I'm like, it doesn't matter.
So did you eject the knowledge?
Right.
I mean, I haven't worked at a video game store in forever.
I know how we ran it. You know more than the average person about bridge building.
Now, was this a guy at any point, Joe, with you were in a band?
I was. Yeah. I was. So this guy.
Oh, he's probably mad at you like all the other ex-band members.
No, yeah. This guy was a good guy. Shout out.
You're the Liam Gallagher of all of your groups. Everybody wants to just fucking stab you. Where was he at in your musical history? You have a band, by the way, for those that don't know. Early American, the new track is at 7:30.
That's my solo stuff.
Six. What's it called?
Yeah,
7:36.
7:36.
7:36.
Yeah, that's my own stuff.
Okay, favorite number.
Yeah, my favorite.
He loves that number.
Yeah, it's okay. My lucky number.
Yes, yeah. That's how many women are trying. How many women want to fuck him that he's like, nah.
Exactly. Over 7:36.
7:36. So Dennis, I met Dennis. I was playing in like a band between bands, and. The guys that played in the band were actually really good. The one dude was like this virtuoso guitar player,
okay.
but super antisocial. Like, he was special, but not special. You know what I'm saying.
Sure. You can say autistic.
Okay, he was very autistic.
Okay.
I know. I'm used to being on the air. And the other guy in the band was Dennis Dempsey. Shout out Dennis.
D-Square.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
Double D.
Super nice guy. Plays the bass amazing. And was also a structural engineer, whatever the hell he did, and worked on bridges.
And you said, will you come on the show?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I will not.
He sent
not.
You an invite to his
no,
birthday.
No, he's like, he doesn't want to talk about it. And
he said, play my album first.
Yeah. No, that's what I was going
to
say.
Something
I was like,
romantic yeah. about people wanting to be on the radio. Nobody gives a shit.
No, it's like I'm having right. to sell my friend. Like, well, you can promote your band. Like, what do you want to do? Like, and then I have another friend that used to work in the harbor. Like actually tugging like a tugboat captain, mm-hmm. basically. His dad was a pilot, and was trying to talk to them, but nobody.
No
there's
dice.
Like there's like Omuerta.
So between us, we're 0-5.
Okay,
trying
yeah.
to get
this
people.
Is who you're gonna get. You're gonna get a guy who comes on and go. So you build bridges? Well, metaphorically, I do. Like, yeah. I put people yes. together
between
and other people. I'm kind of a conduit.
I can get that
mayor.
Guy, or
that's
I
what
get
I do.
Someone who's been on a bridge,
yeah, yeah. or someone who's yeah. burnt a bridge.
Actually,
no,
I
know. So I walked out of the bridges and said, "Go fuck yourself," yeah. and then Jeff I can never bridges. Work there again. I've burnt that bridges.
Yeah, yeah. bridges are gone.
Get Jeff Bridges.
Get Bo Bridges on.
Gene Hackman.
It's somebody from Madison County.
Hackman says. He says, I don't know how anybody can go on a bridge again. You don't have a choice, right?
Yeah, you're going to kind of have to.
You'll be on bridge. You cross the Severn River Bridge to get to work.
To get here.
I'm on a bridge.
It's not
going to
stop me from going on a bridge.
I will be on bridges constantly.
I thought twice about coming through the tunnel on my way here.
You did?
I'm not going to lie.
What'd you do? Okay. What
you're an
you
anxious,
done instead?
You're an anxious sort.
Yeah. I am.
You think they're going to go after
I was
going to
drive. I was. I don't know, man. Twice in a day. Who knows? Anything's possible. I was going to drive up and around the Beltway and come down that way, but I took my chances and I
you're a brave
made
soul.
It. I know.
Well, let's take a quick chance on maybe alienating some advertisers if they don't like these spots. We love them. We hope they do. Please use each and every one of them. We got a great suite of people that support this program, so please support them. We'll be right back.
10 years ago, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Baltimore Underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as lawyers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire Rice, Murtha, and Pesaurus. When you've been wrong, you don't deserve a second best. You don't deserve the B team. You deserve the very best. You deserve the A team. Rice, Murtha, and Pesaurus. RiceLawMD.com. I love it when a plan comes together.
Hey, it's Justin from the DLP Agenda, welcoming to the Die Laughing family, GRB Roofing. GRB Roofing in Bowie, Maryland. Think about it. Your roof, the roof on your home, the roof on your business, it covers all your stuff. Yeah, you could do without a front door. Yeah, maybe you could put a piece of plastic over a window. But a roof? You gotta have a roof. You gotta have a top-tier roof. You gotta have a roofing company like GRB Roofing that's gonna take amazing care of you. How do I know they're gonna? How about 65 years of collective experience? How about 700-plus projects completed beautifully, successfully? Go to GRBRoofing.com.
right now. Get your free quote today, and they're going to take amazing care of you. Commercial, residential, exterior home improvements, deck and fencing. I can't wait to use them. My house, total dump. Every day, I want to go on my roof, I want to take myself a crowbar, and I want to rip up the entire daggone thing. You know what's going to happen after I have a flipped out moment? A, I'm going to calm myself. B, I'm going to make a therapy appointment, and then I'm immediately going to get a hold of GRB Roofing. Again, give them a call, 443-699-6192. That's 443-699-6192. Or go to grbroofing.com. That's grbroofing.com. It's your roof. It covers all your stuff.
It's the DLP agenda.
Hey, it's Joe, Joe, Justin, Rob, and...
Phil left out all the J names.
Yeah, I don't even know if we're all in the shot, because we can't see
it. We are. I'm looking at it right here.
We're all
set to go in there. You had said something, Stamboni, the band that you are in that I know you desperately want to get a divorce from.
Yeah.
I'm glad Rob's here for this. I wanted him to be here, because this guy, probably more than any one of us, is worked the road, so... Just by virtue of the amount of times Rob works the road, is offered shit gigs. Gigs that you look at and go, there's no way I'm ever coming out there for that amount of money in that part of town.
Yes.
With that 15-person lineup. And you say your band has got an offer for something where for what?
I don't even know if it's an offer. you said there's money involved, so you're already beating me. This isn't the first time this has happened. And I've told him before, I can't do it. But... So before they wanted to go to, it started with England. They wanted to go to England.
The country.
To play a show.
Is there a place in England that wants them?
We know
because
no.
Because I want to go to Madison Square Garden.
Right. Yeah. Wanting to go somewhere is easy.
I want to do Wembley Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Now
exactly.
I want to headline WrestleMania.
We know nobody in England.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Strike
so that,
one.
That passes over.
Let's start in America.
Hell yeah.
We want to go to Japan.
Oh, that makes it harder.
So did I.
Yeah.
Longer flight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Japan. And again, we know nobody. We would be playing basically in a space probably the size of this basement to three people.
Hey, come on.
No, this is a nice size.
They also speak a lot more English in England than they do in Japan.
Quite a
there's
bit
that
more.
Too.
Yeah. They're the original speakers of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so never happened. Obviously, I have a full-time job. I got shit to do. And now, recently, last night, I get a text. Would you be available in July to go to Texas to play a couple shows for one weekend? And it's nowhere, Texas, the middle of nowhere, Texas.
What's the venue?
I have no idea. I don't even know if
is
we have
there
a
venue.
I don't even think there is a
did
venue.
Did you ask any questions? My first question would have been how much, right?
There's nothing. It's implied that there is nothing. And we're paying out of pocket to go.
You're paying to stay?
So, the craziest part is, okay, so they, I'm not going to get into their jobs and what they do and everything like that, but most of them have full-time jobs. But they're going to drive from Baltimore to Texas, which is this place in Texas, is like a 24-hour drive.
And now Texas is big. Are we talking Eastern, Central, Western?
It's
I've been through Texas.
North Central, like right under the Panhandle.
So that's a 2.5-day drive.
Right, 2.5-day drive straight through. Like, well, no, I guess 24
hours.
Well, I mean,
if you
take
some time.
Yeah.
I mean, or if there's three of you and you just drive in shifts, you can get there in a day and a half.
I'm stopping for gas.
I'm
too old for this shit.
I was going to say, you're a young man. You're
why,
not a young man.
Hold on. Why? Are they great musicians? Why don't you just quit the band? Seriously, why don't you?
I want him to and start working on my goddamn children's song, goes on my pizza.
Sons of bitches. When I quit this band, it's the first thing on
let
my.
Let that happen. But will this come to fruition at any point?
No.
This will not happen.
Why can't they play around here? I don't understand. You work
there.
For a radio station.
Yeah, let's start there. Let's play around here. And if there's a demand for it, we'll go somewhere else.
We can talk to some people to play
venues.
We're
doing it completely backwards.
Think about music this days. The Voice.
Oh, God. Music is awful.
That show's been on 20 seasons.
Yeah.
It's on NBC.
Right.
It's got the most famous judges in the world.
Former DLP members are on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's right.
They're playing songs everyone knows and loves.
Yeah.
They're playing with a world-class band.
Yeah.
And no one's ever gotten famous from the show.
No.
You can't name one person.
Right.
So you're
going to be in Texas.
That amount of publicity gets them just more Instagram followers.
Nothing.
And you're going to go to Texas to play
in
a dive bar.
You're right. The only person I ever know that was on The Voice is the person that was in our murder mission.
Exactly.
Yes.
I don't know
it's a vehicle
other person
for
that's
the judges.
Ever been on The Voice.
Yeah. No, you're right.
The thing, The Voice the biggest winner of The Voice is Blake Shelton. He went from somebody only country people know to a household name.
And not as big as The Voice, but your band does have a gig offer on the table for April 26th.
Yeah.
The band has been asked, and they're playing,
I don't know,
Hard to Get, Seether, Struts, Stained, Aaron, Dayseeker, Backstage, Tim Montana. We said, what if we had a special fun seventh outdoor-only party band, Early American? Joe can't get him to agree to it.
Yeah.
What?
What's going to be just shy of 10,000 people in the market they live in?
What the?
Get the fuck out of this outfit.
Just say yes. Band. Just say yes and figure out it.
Yeah,
who's in the band later?
Enough people to do it.
Yeah. Be the axle of it. Just have hired guns and call. Look, who owns the name? I say own, like there's paperwork somewhere. But who has dominion over the name Early American?
Right. So that's what I was going to get to. That the guy that that owns the entity Early American is my good friend Brendan. I grew up with him, and he like taught me how to play drums, and you know we've played music together for 20 years.
Okay.
And we've tried to form bands at different times and it never worked out. We didn't have time and I was doing this or he was doing that.
Is this the guy you keep getting in fights with?
No, this is a different guy. I actually I respect this guy, Brendan.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So that's part, like, I actually respect him. He's been a good friend.
Let me interrupt you. Is he on board
with this these travel? Yeah, he's the one that it's
No. Is he the one who's he on board with playing
The spring thing. 98 Rock mega concert.
I think we might be able to work that
out. What do you mean might? I don't understand. Yeah.
It's a fucking
the greatest
pass fail.
Opportunity
you're
of your life.
You're doing no favors. They're doing you a favor. They could have any shit band play. They're asking you guys.
I wonder if we should be in front of 10K in the town that we live in.
I don't understand.
We head out into the desert where mobsters that have turned
no
state's
money.
Evidence yep. have been buried.
I don't understand it. I don't get it at all.
I can tell you something, Joe. I'm dead serious. I don't think we're getting the whole story. It doesn't make any sense.
Are they afraid? Are they
what you're saying
afraid
makes
of
no
success?
Sense. These guys are going to get in a car.
Yeah.
They're going to drive to Texas for
and they're
no
not
money.
Young. They're all the youngest person is you, me, and then the next youngest is like 38, and then they're all in their 40s.
Chad is asking if Brendan has dreadlocks.
No, Brendan does not have dreadlocks.
They're
going to
put
dreadlocks.
Themselves up. They're going to make no money. They're going to feed themselves.
They're
going to
lose
do all that.
Money.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to lose thousands.
Or they can play in this area for thousands and thousands of people, and they don't.
They're on the fence.
There's something I want to hear.
Listen.
I'm going to talk for somebody else in the band.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I'm telling you, there's part of the story that's got to be left out.
You know what it is? I mean, listen, 98 Rock and these bands, this is a blue-collar, working man, rock and roll lineup. Tell me, and to Joe's point here, is there a little nose in the air towards this? Is there a little we're better than this type stuff? Like, we're real. I'm going to compare it to wrestling for 1 second. Joe, appreciate this new episode of Laughs Count Anywhere. New episode of Laughs Count Anywhere coming out soon.
Pre-WrestleMania. We'll
Mania edition.
Yes.
The AEW fan base considers itself a little too cool to fill up 10,000 seat arenas.
Right.
They like that there's a Japanese guy no one's ever heard of taking on a guy that he's got no story with. That's real wrestling there. Not that shit where they pack 27,000 people into a stadium two nights in
a row.
Nobody wants a guy that's, you know, had number one movie after number one
The Rock?
Movie. No. It's the music fan that goes, what, the Foo Fighters are at the arena? No, we're going to go see Regis and the Philbins open for Surprise Your Gay at the Art Collective in Hamden. That's real music.
Yeah.
I know people that are like
that.
Are they too cool for us?
No. I would love to say yes. It would be way funnier and way better, but they're not. They love the show. They listen
What's
to the show.
What's the problem
they
then?
Get the
I don't
fuck
Hey,
the shit.
Would you rather have sex with a 10 in the neighborhood you live in?
Yeah.
Or fly 7 hours, have sex with a 1, and get herpes.
Yeah, right.
I'm taking herpes every time.
Now, let's go over the pros and cons.
I don't know.
Yes. I want to talk to somebody else
her.
In the band.
Exactly.
I want to talk to another member of the band.
Okay.
Can we do a follow-up with this?
What the problem is.
Yeah.
It makes no fucking sense whatsoever. I'm not saying you're not telling the truth. I'm just saying you sound like you haven't asked enough questions. Like, what's your fucking problem? And by the way, whatever they say back, that answer should compel you to quit the band.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, I don't understand how they don't understand. I have like a real job.
Yes.
And I have real hours are demanded. They have real jobs too.
This is
Are their jobs remote? Can they work on a laptop somewhere? You have a very tactile, hands on, I have to touch stuff job.
And mostly,
you can't...
mostly it's the hours. The hours, you know, they kill your nightlife. So I'm going to get off work. I'm going to wake up at 3 o'clock, go to work, get off work, and drive 24 hours to fucking Texas.
No. That sounds like a
Then play two shows and drive 24 hours now, back?
Do they like. Do they have families, and do they are they trying to get away from their family?
I think so. I think a lot
of it, part of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of there's honestly
are
it's
they,
a lot of Peter Pan.
You can't answer
Pan
this,
types.
But are they trying to have more fun on the road than they would at home?
Oh, are they trying to? What, I believe it's hose something area codes.
Yes.
No. They okay. They're probably not going to get any hoes.
Are they hooking up with each other?
Yeah.
Are they ugly?
Up with each other. Are they hooking
no,
up
they're
each
not
other?
Ugly. Okay. They're not
well,
ugly.
You're in a band, though. Usually, you know, that, that's attractive.
I mean, they might do all right.
Yeah.
They might do all right.
Shifting gears, but staying within gig talk real quick. I had a rip of shows over the weekend. They were great. Kelsey was there. Kelsey actually just made me laugh. We were talking about venues to perform in. Kelsey, accurately so, the gig Justin did this past Friday was the smallest room I've ever been in.
What was it called?
It was the Dream Big Performing Arts Center in Del Mar, Delaware. It wasn't big, but it was
Dream
big.
It's big.
Let me
dream
Kelsey big. Went to Delaware to
she
see you?
She drove two
Kelsey's awesome.
Fucking
hell yeah.
Hours.
Hell
she
yeah.
is ride or die.
Way to go, Kelsey.
Eric was there. Some other friends of the show were there. DLP listenership. My man, the big, bad, bearded, bald, beautiful bastard that came to Cult Classic, he's a DLP Patreon listener.
Love him.
He introduced himself to me, not as a JSS listener, but as a DLP
oh,
Patreon
yeah.
fan.
Good
this
man.
Guy was an absolute one of the Viking Raiders looking son of a bitch.
We like that.
I brought him on stage with me to pretend to be security. So that show, amazing. The guy that runs it, Chris, he's such a good dude, very honest. I had a situation that unfolded on Saturday that is 100% my doing. That I have the one show, Dream Big, on Friday. Sunday, Four Dogs Brewing, another great show. Things went awesome. And Friday, or Saturday, I should say, Cult Classic Brewing, other side of the bridge, Bay Bridge, and I get there, and I go on stage, fucking knock it out of the park. I mean, soup to nuts.
Nice.
Killer fucking show. And after the show's over, and it's an earlier show too, I'm like, this is great. I get to hang out here. My friends are here. I'm getting drinking. It's still crowded. This is awesome. Get me another one. Who wants shots? Let's do this. Why are they still lining up? Why are more people coming in? What's that about a second show? I didn't read the flyer. And there were two shows.
Okay.
And I was told after the first one, hey, we're getting ready to start the second one.
And you were in a one-show mindset.
Oh, I was getting twisted tea.
Yes.
I was getting twisties.
Were twisties there other comics on the show?
Being a naughty boy. Yeah. Okay. And they were having a beer or two. And I think somebody might have been sucking on a 5-milligram mint. Maybe somebody went outside and hit a vape. Me, on the other hand, like, I'm away from the fam. Let's fucking. And I get fucking drunk. I mean, I get fucking drunk. Because I plan on my
never done that before.
I'm just going to take an Uber
like
on the way
so.
Back. Yeah. I can't remember the last time I got.
I can't be drunk
break.
On stage where I can't. I won't do well.
Yeah.
I'll forget things. I'll slur. It's not good.
I start asking them. I get into a panic. I get into like a nervous, like, oh my God, panic. But I mean, I get a little mush mouth. I get a little sloppy. I immediately ask, like, do you guys have black coffee? I need black coffee. Yeah. I don't know if that works or not. I start drinking hot black coffee, and it starts to, like, tweak me out a little bit to where I'm like, okay, I think I've got enough to, like, fumble fuck my way through this second show. What do you think happens after three cups of hot black coffee?
You have to pee.
I almost have to shit my
ass
on stage.
Yeah. And shit. Okay, got it. Yeah.
It's
a good combination.
I fought for my life for 20 minutes at the end of a 40-minute set, 20 minutes on stage. I'm managing.
Yeah, and you can't
I'm
even think about your material.
All I'm thinking is don't shit, don't fart, don't jump, don't move around, Justin.
Don't perform.
Did you tell the audience what was happening?
No, because I was getting pain. I was sweating.
Oh,
somebody handed
God.
Me a napkin. I finish up. I do 35 of my 40.
Close enough.
I run to the back. I'm never being invited back. When I tell you, I walked ass first through the door, pants to knees.
Just
there was
Rorschach
no push.
Pants.
It was just
brand new closer.
Boom! Porcelain. Just double birth.
Follow that, bitch.
Porcelain oatmeal. I ruin. And I mean, I'm back there. I'm like, oh, this is so awful. And I mean, I turn around and look. It's a crime scene.
It's unrecoverable.
It's nothing
I can
do. The
glamour of being on the road.
Yeah. So I clean myself up. I do as much as I can. I ended up cleaning myself with like wet paper towels. I threw it in the trash can that was in there, and I cinched the bag up. And...
wet paper towels.
There was paper towels. I put them in the sink. Oh, it was like because there's just
you
too
had to get
much.
Your legs all bad.
Oh,
you need a shower.
Back of your knees.
I wipe my back. it was a mess. So I cinch it all up and all that. I'm trying to clean and all that. And I go and I get paid. And one of the people that are back there, they're bringing back like looks like racks of glasses or something. They go in there and go, oh, what the fuck? And I was like. I think it was that guy's girlfriend. And I pinned it on a dude's girlfriend.
It's a communal bathroom?
Oh, yeah. It's a green room bathroom.
There's
a green room.
Gotcha.
So there's only like four or five of us that access.
Gotcha.
But it's also where they keep like stuff for the kitchen and big rolls of
paper
towels.
Were there any comics you knew on the show?
I knew Tom Nutty, and that was it. But there was two other comics there. And they had their
Tom Nutty will be tight-lipped.
Tom will zip this up. I appreciate Tom. Tom might have actually been out into the main area and was just having a drink and wasn't there. But I met another guy. I was like, man, maybe I'll not see this guy again. It'll be okay. Saw him the very next night. The very next, the same lineup. Because
he's
weekend.
Doing, he books like a run.
He
right?
books yeah. a run yeah, for yeah, three
he,
days.
He sent me some dates about
this. He's a good guy. Yeah. Pays well, good rooms.
I told him to fuck off. No. I'm sure in Texas. No, I'm sure I'll do it.
And I walked into the Four Dogs on Sunday just waiting to be like, hey, man, can I talk to you real quick? And thank God it never happened.
Was that you?
Hey, man, real quick. My girlfriend doesn't have fucking IBS.
But you're the headliner, and they look up to you, so they have to tread. They have to just allow that.
Yeah, right?
You could probably just shit on the,
well, the other
on comics, the couch.
Yes,
but
he's
not,
shit on the floor funny. Yeah. I've been described as funny, but never he's allowed to shit on the floor funny. Oh, yeah, last time I will drink before a show again. Yeah. I'll never drink three piping hot black coffee cups.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. I had a late show Friday that wasn't like that, but it was the second show. The early show Friday, I mean, it's San Diego.
Yeah.
I'm like destroying in a way like, you know, on a late night set where they'll applaud when no one ever fucking applauds in the middle of a joke.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh, now I have to wait. So they're doing that. And I'm like, now my timing is almost, I'm like, okay, you love that much? Those are two more punchlines. So I'm feeling real good about this Friday late show.
Crushing.
And I'm fucking pulling teeth from the back. Right. And they're like, the people up front are just smiling, but they're just drunk and tired. And it's just like, I'm trying. Somebody yelled something out and I'd make a comment, that would get a laugh. I go back to material, and it's like they couldn't pay attention for more than like 10 seconds. And they're like, all right, what's the next joke? And I'm like, it's the same fucking kind of people. Just an hour ago, I'm getting applause breaks. Now, Ian Kechner was like, Rob, I'm listening, and you know it. You can kill, and I'm like, boy, this is going to be rough for me because it's just – and but then it was at the end, people would walk out and go, oh, that crowd, they sucked for you. And I was like, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, thing. I know. Yeah. You
fucking laugh for me.
You're cut from the same cloth I am, and Joe, when you do it. We were never a blame the audience type. There was never – that was real alt-commy shit.
Yes.
Like, oh, they didn't get me. Mm-hmm. You didn't know what I was doing. No, no, no. We've never been that. We have a duty. But you get a crowd. We were at the cusp of that for that second cult show where they were out there, by the way, watching March Madness basketball, drinking heavy ABV beers, eights, nines, putting them back, having deals.
And this is Friday for you,
this
too?
This is Saturday for me.
It's Friday, so they're tired. They've been working all week. They haven't been slept in that day.
And they've been hanging out there pre-gaming.
Yeah.
So they're feeling fucking no pain. And for a little bit, the second show, somewhat of a fight, but not to the point of like... Yeah. Two completely different crowds.
It was night and day. I had a moment in one show. And
do you prefer a loose crowd or a sober crowd?
I
kind of prefer a sober crowd.
I mean,
if I had to pick.
If the whole crowd's sober, then it's not they're not in a comedy club. So that would. I mean, I want them to have a
or
couple
maybe
drinks.
They start their drinking there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
isn't
start
their
drink.
Their night begins there.
Yeah. This was the late show. They all showed up drunk.
Yeah.
And this is, by the way, in a downtown area where you're loaded with bars. So they probably get down there at 8 p.m. for a 9:30 show. They're going there drinking.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, 9:30. Nobody starts the night at 9:30.
Right. Yeah.
But this one show, I'm having a good moment. I'm doing the crowd, the hall pass thing. And there's an older couple in their 60s, but they're cool, and I'm doing really well. And I ask her who she was, and I forget who she says. And then I ask him, and he goes, nope, that's my celebrity. That's my hall pass to his wife.
Okay.
And I go, don't be a bitch, right? People laugh. He stands up. And now I'm like,
oh, fuck.
What's happening? And he points at me, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Have I misread this? Because he's loving me. And now I'm like, and the whole crowd's like, what's happening? And he's, because earlier I talk about my ex 13 years together, goes, my hall pass was your 13 ex of 13 years. He's trying to do a joke.
He's trying to do a fucking
bit. And I'm like, oh, I thought you were going to fight me.
I thought you wanted to kill me.
You just had a bad joke.
Yes.
Got me, buddy.
There was a guy, similar but different on the Friday show. Kelsey, you can attest to this. Kelsey and chat. The guy that I was convinced wanted to fucking murder me after the show because I said it looked like his girlfriend was there via human trafficking. I said, oh, she's here in Del Mar, Delaware. 2 hours ago, she was in a shipping container on the Atlantic. Okay. Hopefully they got a good price on her. Yeah. One Bitcoin. It's pretty expensive these days, something. And he is fucking glaring at me. And he's not saying anything, but he is staring at me. And I did a really strange set. I was in the crowd the entire time. I barely ever got on the mic. Everyone is just falling over. I'm having a blast. I threw caution to the wind. But I kept going back to him, trying to get him on my side. Show ends. I go over there to the whole, like, hey, man, thanks for being a good sport. He is very on the spectrum. Very, very. The minute
he doesn't even know where he is.
The minute he starts talking, fan. Thank you very much for allowing me to attend the comedy show here this evening. I'm like, oh, okie dokie. Never mind. I didn't understand. Thank you so much. Let's take a quick break. Here's a clip from a new episode of Dork Dynasty. It's myself, Eric Woodworth. It is for the DLP Patreon members. There's a ton of good content behind that Patreon paywall. Just $5 gets you a little taste of this.
See, I want you to listen to this real quick. Because that is the cock of Helldivers being sucked for the next 40 minutes. Because when the fucking theme song hits and you're dropping into the planet filled with turbidites and you got to clear a path for fucking democracy.
It's the DLP agenda.
You mentioned Chris Kaharm earlier in the episode about him running around like crazy editing things. So I get into the station today, and I normally edit these clips, the one that you just heard. And I was listening to Dork Dynasty on my drive over.
Yeah.
And I hadn't got through all of it. And I see Chris before, you know, I go on the air. And I'm like, yeah, I normally edit the thing, and I don't know what part to edit. Here he is doing all this other stuff. In like 2 seconds. Here it is. Emails it to me. That's the clip. He did that. He stopped. He stopped working on the bridge, and he did that.
Joe, you can attest to this. Oh, in regards to speed and efficiency, I mean, he might be our one seed that's ever been in that building.
Yeah, no.
I mean, obviously people talk of Mike Anderson and all these legendary tales, and the farther we get away from him, the less I appreciate him. But his speed. Now, come to town again without hitting us up. I'm making notes, okay? At this point, 3 visits to Maryland and not a single text. So have you ever seen anybody edit audio quicker and more accurately than him?
No,
I mean,
incredible.
To do a turnaround, like Rob says.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I mean, it's like watching someone play an instrument.
Yeah, he's like
when he gets in there.
He's like doing 5 people's jobs, and he should be just doing his job.
He will be everybody's boss in the next 5 years.
He's only supposed to.
I know, right? That's good for you. Yeah. Finally. Hey, 19th time's a charm.
He's supposed to work normal hours, 9 to 5, 8 to 4, whatever it is. The guy gets there at 4. He's getting in there when we're getting in the morning.
Yeah.
4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. He's showing up. Working 3 hours before he has to, and probably 2 or 3 hours after.
Yeah, but he's also coming from Montana to get there. So it's crazy.
He travels 5 counties away. Who knows? Maybe he could teach my children how to use a dishwasher. Maybe he's so good. Rob, you might have missed this earlier off-air conversation. I just picked up some beautiful new appliances, courtesy of Town Appliance and Owings Mills. Talk to Avi. Talk to Mayor. Tell him JSS and DLP sent you.
Nice.
I'm about a month and a half into my new appliances, and I think I have an issue with my dishwasher.
Uh-oh.
I'm opening it up. Everything's wet. The steam comes out. Oh, there we go. And I'm pulling stuff out. I'm like, this doesn't look clean. Now, I know I've done dishes in this thing, and spotless.
You're
looks
putting
like
the detergent, the little pot in there. You're doing all that.
Rob, it's like you have a webcam in my house, because I'll do them,
And then they'll come out and everything will work.
Working.
So I watched my child the other day. Okay. I won't say which one, but it's the oldest. And I see him put it together and he puts everything in there and he shuts the door and goes around. Well, watch out, bud. You've got the little pod. He goes, the soap pod. You didn't put it in there. Okay. Where are they at? The same place underneath the sink right there. So where does it go? And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I've seen you do dishes 20 times.
You've been eating dirty dishes.
Yeah, you've been eating.
I've been
out of the-
eating off. Yeah.
And just washing around it.
You're just swishing water around. You're brushing with no toothpaste. Yeah. You're showering.
Why is
no
there
soap?
A Cheerio still in this bowl?
Yeah, have you seen him brush his teeth?
Oh, God, right? I got to watch tonight.
Is he just doing the brush?
He's on the wrong. The bristles are facing out, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
What does he do with it? Does he shampoo? He just uses his hands in his hair.
Oh, I asked him, I was like, bud, you know, you got to put the soap in there.
Oh, my God. How's he wiping his ass?
Oh, no.
Is he not using
it? He only uses his hand. Bud, you got to use the soap. Soap. Goes, oh, I thought it made its own soap. I'm like, what do you think? There's a soap tank outside that we have hooked up to this thing, and a soap truck that pulls up that just fills it with palm olive or something.
Have you ever gone through a car wash?
Yeah,
any of those suds come from?
He's just driving through the.
I'm like, I got you, pal.
Just the air. This is
only the dryer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So again, Carl Heim, I might have to have you come over and help. Hey, Rob, it sounds like Katie, alongside with many other people, ourselves and others in this room and out, in the never-ending quest to blow the dust off your penis.
Know,
sounds like Katie's kind of taking lead on something.
Yeah, I want to know if that made Rob feel uncomfortable, because it's a Joe move, but it's really not a Katie move. So here's what happens. Mm-hmm. Katie and I are going to eat, and we always call Rob to see, you know, Rob lives right near us. So you go, hey, have you eaten yet? He goes, no, I'm on my way back. Like, all right, we'll meet you at restaurant.
It was working perfect timing because I was literally thinking, I'm going to get somebody to eat, stop somewhere, where am I going to go? And then you called. So it was a rare perfect timing.
Yeah.
We show up about 5 minutes before Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our waitress comes over, and she's very attractive. Okay. And she's also Rob's type.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So, excuse me. So
she could be related to Aria.
Yeah. Ooh. So Katie goes, oh my God, you're stunning. Never heard Katie.
Katie says this to her.
To the waitress. I've never heard Katie say anything.
Nice. Right?
She's
feels
never said that to you, I'm sure.
Never.
She says, you're stunning me with your
you're
stupidity.
Stunning.
Yes.
I'm stunned how stupid you are.
I'm stunned at how
bad a decision I made. Yes. Yes. I wish someone would stun me in the face with a fucking taser.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, so I go, I was just like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And the girl goes, oh, you're stunning too. And I'm like,
you're the first one, right?
Yeah. Anyway, there's a Holiday Inn across the street.
She goes, are you single? I go, what the fuck is happening right now? What is happening? Okay.
Joe feels a wedding ring bounce off his head. Those two just run out of the restaurant together.
She goes, yeah, I am. She goes, oh, okay. Because there's a guy who's going to.
She said she was single or wasn't?
She was not single.
Okay.
Right? Mm. And Katie goes, oh, okay, because there's a guy here that, you know, you're his type and whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, now Rob's not going to know what he's walking into. It's going to be awkward, I think, right?
Rob's type, unavailably black.
Yeah. So.
New show title.
Right.
That's not a word, I don't think. Unavailable.
So she goes.
Black and unavailable.
Black and unavailable.
My favorite type and cigar.
Black and mild, black and unavailable. Hand me one of them black and unavailables. Ooh. With the wood tip. Jesus Christ.
She goes, well, why don't you date him? Now, meanwhile, what that means. Right. So what that means is there's
no way
could you and her be together.
How long is he a friend of your dad here?
Like, what the fuck is happening right now? I'm right here.
I don't know. I can tell you what happened. A logical deduction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh,
boy.
Wow.
You went from A to B there.
Oh,
man.
Holy shit. That Katie's looking out for him, but why am I taking a fucking sledgehammer to the face?
You tell I love this girl. God, you got to find her. You got to break her up with a boyfriend. You got to get in there.
Yeah, but anyway, she came back, and I was like, is it awkward? I don't know. It was a little awkward.
No, because it was, you told me about it, and I was like, I don't, you know. She immediately pours me water and spills it.
So now I'm like, oh, you're nervous around me. I get that. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And so we're having a little playful thing.
I'm over there destroyed.
Right. I ordered an IPA.
She splashes in your face. Yeah.
I said, give me an IPA. And she goes, which one? I said, whatever. And then she said, this kind. I said, that's fine. And then she came back, and it wasn't that one. It was out. And she goes, yeah, but I knew you just wanted an IPA. I was like, all right, we're already getting along.
We had
some good vibes.
I know none of this is happening. I'm so distracted by the idea
just
that there's
the
just
body blow you took.
One in a trillion that this could be a thing.
I always love asking people the first time something that, at this point, it's background noise to us. The fascination of you, Joe Robinson, and your stunning, much younger wife,
right.
Katie Robinson, Joe Stamboni. When did this relationship get
when
on
did
your
you believe
radar?
It was real?
When did you finally? When did
Do you,
have you
believe
your,
it's real now?
Yeah, yeah. There's no actual trafficking or money exchanging. Because everyone in our group and secondary and tertiarily have had their, you're fucking kidding me moment. Like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Moment.
Yeah. I think the first time, it was probably when I was doing sound for one of the murder mysteries. That was the first time I met Katie. And still not convinced.
Still not convinced. Oh, they hired a hot actress.
No, agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree.
Oh, wow. She's Joe's wife as part of the show.
The
right.
show.
Get it?
Right.
Yeah, that's the character. Yeah.
She's committed to the gimmick. Room
right.
and board
yeah, exactly.
to play this
yeah.
role.
This show never ends.
Like he's Flair like, walking through the airport with the title.
Right. Joe's like, I actually believe that guy died. Justin actually died.
Yeah, that's more believable.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like they have an intimacy coordinator upstairs for when they have sex. Okay. I'm going to guide the penis into your young area.
Now ask for permission.
I'm not one that wants to be fixed up, but in that situation where we're just there.
Good move on
Katie's
part.
That's one thing. But like if it's like, Larry has this friend
she's in your building,
yeah.
Right?
But I think he has set it up like maybe you could date or something. And then I run into her a few times. By the way, her daughter's super hot too. But anyway, so I'm like.
It's too awkward.
But it's not. But that's. That the fact that we're getting into it like that, like I would like a friend actually just to hang out.
Just have somebody in the building to hang out with, that would be cool.
But
good on Katie though for fucking she's got balls bigger than any of the eight in this room.
The problem with that girl though, as I was coming off of San Diego, where
Joe doesn't know about any of your possible conquests, by the way.
I know about a few.
I'd fallen in love with this
girl.
Yes,
fucking 20.
Right. Yeah. No offense to the girl that Katie was, but like I was coming off of that in my mind, nothing happened.
Some of the goblins I bedded
down.
We do
have phone numbers.
Don't ever give up.
In the dirt behind Fishhead Cantina when I was in my 20s. I mean, just some of the absolute twos that I had to wrangle like an escaped fucking dinosaur.
I remember some of that.
Damn, some of the ones you had to fucking harpoon to get her back to my enclosure. Right. And some of these tens of yours.
But the place we were at, it's also, if you listen to the bonus, where I sort of talked to that one girl. She works at the same place, so that's
that would have been.
I don't have that kind of confidence to pull it. But she wasn't single, so it doesn't.
I applaud you for keeping the standard high. Yeah. I mean, some of the women in my mid to late 20s,
we shoot for the moon.
I shoot for the floor with a fucking shotgun, and I hit it.
Something happened that's never happened to me in the history of comedy. This past weekend, San Diego, American Comedy Company, great club, and the first night, it's Thursday night. And it's a two-man show. It's what Dave and I do. It's me and him. There's no entourage. There's nothing. And we walk into the green room, and there's four people in there. There are four early 20s.
All right.
Four white people. They're smoking. They're getting high. And they're very comfortable.
They're under the impression they're supposed to be there.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
And Dave's like, who are you?
Hey, guys.
And the one guy's like, who are you? I'm like, what? It's aggressive. And we're like, well, it's our show. It's our green room. They're like, no, it's our green room. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then the guy's like, well, when are you on? I'm like, no, there's no, when are we on? We're the show.
We're the show.
There's no other, this is us. And he goes, well, no, we're supposed to go on tonight. We're a rap group.
Oh, God. Like, wait, what the fuck?
Yes.
Can I ask a quick question? Is it a comedy club?
It's a comedy club only.
So it's not a music venue that has musical nights and trivia nights. This is a comedy club.
Now, maybe like some comedy clubs, they'll have a podcast or something or a trivia night. But it's not a music venue at all.
Can I ask real quick, the crowd that has begun to gather? Because usually crowds will get there early. DLP next week, April 4th, Seinfeld Trivia Live at Goobies.com. Can't wait to see you there. Thank you for all your help. Sweet Pam, there's some great prizes. But you'll see the crowd that comes in. And you go, okay, those are our people. Those are comedy club crowd. I'm going to assume a rap audience, a hip-hop audience, different. Was there anything about the crowd as you made your way through said, hey,
no
bandanas,
no flat brims?
Nothing. They were all fans of Champ Con. You know, that's where San Diego, that's where it took place, Anchorman San Diego. They're all clearly our audience.
They're your audience.
And so, and now Dave's like getting mad at the one guy because there's the two guys that are the rappers. Then there's the security. And then there's this chick who's holding a camera. I assume she's the photographer.
You said it was like four white kids in the
back? Four white kids.
Okay,
yes.
So their rap audience would be the worst.
Exactly.
Because a standard hip-hop audience probably could be a pretty good time.
Right.
These guys, dog shit. Worse. We're talking Island Boys level fuckery.
So, and he's like, no, we're supposed to be here. And, all right, so Dave goes, gets the manager. He comes in. He's like, okay, what's going on? And he's like, we're here for the show. We got booked. And he's like, I'm really... Guy opens his phone, the white rapper, he goes, oh, yeah, we're in the wrong venue. We're supposed to be next door.
Next door's a Subway. So. Next door's a Quiznos. They went into the green room.
Somebody let them in that worked there. They showed up and said, we're the openers. And I guess somebody who's new works there is like, oh, I guess that's who opens for David
Kettner. Brittany might have named the show. Bone Thugs and Comedy.
Fuck, hilarious.
I thought Black and Unavailable was a lock.
I mean, Bone Thugs and Comedy.
So,
God, that's good.
What a fucking botch.
Brittany wins that.
Well, hold on. Real quick, was there any level of did they acquiesce? Like, oh, fuck, that's
no,
on
they
us.
Did. They did.
They did. Said, they didn't they try said, and puff
okay,
their chest
sorry
out.
Sorry about that.
But it's the level of stupidity. Forget that it's a comedy club. I assume it was next door, but... Don't they have to? Isn't there sound checks? Isn't there? Do they just walk up and start rapping? I mean, what are they?
It doesn't make
any
sense.
Acapella rap? Were they just going to walk up and? Isn't there a guy with a turntable?
Right. They had you would need a backing track.
Right.
So like you wouldn't. Is it acapella rap?
Is that just such a thing?
That would be.
Is that a thing?
I don't think it's a thing.
Joe, you're in music.
You could have somebody beatboxing, I guess.
Was
you
one guys, of them
maybe one was the beatbox.
You guys accidentally go to the wrong venue. There's a guy up there with like turntables, wax, and people like pouring like really. Like high end funder. You see somebody doing bottle service, like, God damn, this place is ready to party. I bet
we would do better at the rap show than they would have done at our show.
Yeah, for sure. Now, was it right next door? There's but a they, rap
they
venue.
Said it's an area where there's a bunch of bars and restaurants.
Right.
So some music venue. It was probably within like a door or two. So
let me ask you this, because here's another thing.
But right nearby.
What when did the show start?
It was an 8 p.m. show.
What time were you having this conversation?
7:40.
So the other venue's probably like,
where the fuck are these?
Are they
calling them? Hey, guys?
They look like people that get there early for things.
By the way, for musicians, it's almost, I'm going to guess, 9 times out of 10. Let's do a sound check, something, get up there. I mean, even if there's no instrumentation,
right.
Give me your backing track, give me whatever, and they're just, fuck it, we're back here.
They're just
burning one up.
Yeah.
By the way, talk about dog shit security for a comedy club that there's four dudes back there.
I think somebody got in trouble for
burning
that.
Up. Yeah. Oh, someone definitely dropped the fucking ball.
Right.
I've never done anything quite that bad. You know my story at One Winning Drive, the Castle. The 1 year they assigned me to do Ravens coverage.
Oh,
me.
I do now.
Joe knows this. No. Do you know where I fucking went?
No.
So this is the year after I took over for Stash, who left the station. I took all of his duties, including the Wednesday night, Hustler Amateur Night. I had to do a couple of grand openings for like a gold club, and he did the Ravens coverage. And the Ravens were like, you're going to send someone down here. Who's the new afternoon guy? It's this fucking guy that doesn't know the difference between a tight end and a cornerback. Well, let's fucking get him out here anyways. Well, I walk in there confident as fuck, and I guess there's something to be said for act like you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So I walk in, and I say, I'm here from 98 Rock, WBAL. I'm here to get some audio from the players, chest high, Ravens jersey on, little mini DAT player. I walk right in to the cafeteria where all of the players are. And we had just done something with Tucker with the station filming some spots for us. So he recognized me. I recognized him. I walk up to Justin Tucker. He's like, hey, buddy, how are you doing? Good to see you, man, here. Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to grab some audio. Can I borrow you for 1 minute? He gives me this kind of curious look. I'm like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, another great Ravens football season's upon us. How do you think you're going to kick this year with your leg, which is better than your arm, which is hard to do because there's a hand at the end of it, as opposed to a foot? And I'm holding it up, and I look, and there's fucking players like starting to look at me. And he gives me this kind answer and whatever, and I'm going to wait. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait for them to finish. I go make myself a plate.
A celebratory meal.
I go and fucking make a plate.
What'd you get? Because they got good food there.
Yeah. They had soft serve. They had like ribs. They had like chops and all that.
You had no chops.
Not chops whatsoever. No capabilities. I felt like a fucking six-year-old whose father just found out, hey, you shit on the floor and you're going to later in life as in a comedian. A man grabs my arm, lifts me up by the fucking tricep, and it's like head of security President Chad Steele walks me out of that room.
That name is impressive.
I got, look up Chad Steele with the Baltimore Ravens. I promise you, you've seen him standing over.
That's Sage Steele's husband, right? Am I right about that?
He's the nicest dude in the world, but he is all fucking business.
Yeah.
He walked my bitch twink ass out of there into the lobby and gave me a well-deserved dressing down. You're in the wrong venue. Let me take you where you're supposed to be. It was this closet with a cubicle that looked like the scene from prison where you get to talk to
someone.
We'll
be sending
the
long snapper back to you.
Yeah, the next time the fourth string punter is going to be
out
there.
You're in the training room getting a massage.
Yeah, I'm in there like, hey, anyway, you can work out this kink in my tricep.
I don't know if I'm pretty sure we told the story
on
here.
You can tell it again. I know what you're going
to
tell.
Last year, Rob and I did the draft.
From the stadium.
From the stadium, and there were players that we were going to interview. We interviewed Pernell McPhee, I know. David
Ajabo, some former players.
Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith, yeah.
And then we were supposed to interview Jordan Stout.
The punter.
The punter. And I'm like, oh, cool.
A white guy.
A white guy with long hair, whatever.
Kind of distinct looking.
And I'm like, oh, cool. He's here, right? So I'm like, hey, bud, and he goes, what do you mean? I'm an intern.
Joe, do you know this?
Yeah.
No,
I just started talking to some
John
Toon.
It was John Toon.
It's former head of 98 Rock Promotions and admitted piece of ass.
Yes.
John Toon, who, while being a tall white guy with longish hair, looks fucking nothing like him.
I had no idea what John I just knew we were supposed to talk to him, and I saw a tall guy with long hair.
If we went to the Wizards draft, you'd interview Carl Hein.
But trust me, knowing some of our listeners.
Tom Gugliotta, let's interview him.
Just wait for the next Raven season to get underway. Some listener is going to come up and ask Kobe, our producer, what position he plays.
No,
I can fucking promise you.
Tight end.
He's going deep. He's wide open. Thank you to everybody hanging out in chat tonight. April 4th, Magoobies. If you hadn't gotten your tickets already, you're going to get the big push right after opening day this Thursday. It is Seinfeld Trivia Live. We're putting together another gift basket for the thing. Our friend Pam is helping us out with some stuff.
Thanks,
she
Pam.
She gave me some stuff for some of the winners for this thing. Oh, dude,
awesome.
Pam is so fucking diehard.
We're going to bring back the Elaine Dance Contest.
The Elaine Dance Competition. Please get your thumbs in the air, get them moving around.
Like you just don't care.
Please. A new episode of Dork Dynasty. There's going to be a very new episode of Laughs Count Anywhere anytime soon.
Because before next week, because we're going to Mania on the 7th.
We
and
are.
Then we'll clearly have stories from that.
Did Eric
Maybe
pay
we should
you
try
yet?
To. He did pay me.
He did pay
not
you.
For the hotel, but for the actual ticket. Okay. And I saw Testoni today. He came in.
Wait a minute. Eric paid you for part of it?
Well, I don't know if
he paid you for part. So if he owes you $100, he gave you $50.
Just making sure.
Well, the numbers are higher than that, but
no, I know that. I'm just doing it.
There's the
if that's the ratio.
There's the ticket and there's the hotel.
I got it. If that totals $100, how much do you have so far?
Of the grand totals, 100?
Let's say the grand totals, 100. How much of it do you have?
I have the lion's share.
You have $80?
I have it. The math doesn't quite work out.
$75?
He owes me $200. Let's just say that. He paid me $500. Okay. Why are we being coy?
Well, let's see. In the
Why did he only pay you part?
I don't know. I guess he
Does
didn't
he
realize
know?
The hotel. He doesn't read emails.
Or if money's tight, because we know right now the economy's going through a little bit of something, gas prices, groceries, he could sell some of his brother's R.I.P. Jeremy movies that he bequeathed to him, including. But not limited to, what do we have here? Genevieve Cassi Rossi presents Attack of the Killer Clown Chickens. Scienceless.
Oh, I should give him his $500 back and just take that.
Scienceless fiction. What's this one here? What is that? Planter Pussy Party. And this one, I can't read, but it's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. That's
that
a good one.
Fuck yeah.
That's pretty
funny. Hey, real quick. Also on those pictures.
It is. It is.
Also on those pictures.
Acronym EM. R, right?
That's yes, yes.
Also in those pictures was a Stouffer's TV dinner.
Yeah.
Katie has never in her life had Salisbury steak. How about next episode?
Yeah.
Yes.
I fire up a nice Salisbury steak
How
for
about
her.
We dress nice for it? We'll pair it with some things.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, how about
Katie
we bring
join
our
us,
each
which is big clicks?
We'll bring different
different versions of a TV dinner Salisbury steak.
I do like a TV dinner Salisbury steak tasting. There's a Swanson brand. There's a Stouffer's brand.
I hope she doesn't like it because I'll finish it.
I'll beat the shit out of all the years. Joe Stamboni, thank you so much for all of your help.
Thanks for
JSS, DLP. We'll talk to you guys next Tuesday.